Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. We have our usual humans today. I would just say we have Hassan and we have Leram. Yes. And
Energy. Ooh.
yeah. And today, I mean, we were going to talk about hidden gems, and we still will a little bit, but we're going to talk a little bit about gatekeeping in general, but more we're leaning towards the anime community, I guess, based off of how this came about. But before we do that, we must dive into the nerdum and, keep up with current events and whatnot. So, actually, I'm going to start with Nintendo, the Nintendo Direct that happened some days ago. And I'm going to start with it because I actually didn't watch it. I looked at the games that came out of it, and I was kind of glad that I didn't watch it. I'm quite a Nintendo stan, so I don't like to say when something was a letdown. And I didn't watch it. So yeah,
I think we
Hassan.
should though. I think, like, in fairness to like any other like Sony release or like Xbox event, if it's disappointing, we should be like, that's disappointing, right? We shouldn't play favorites. I watched it on the day, and I feel like it was catering to like a specific niche that I just wasn't in. Do you know what I mean?
What, like JRPGs?
Yeah, for real. For the most part, it was like JRPGs, and then there was that RTS kind of one, which looked pretty interesting, but
Oh, what, Project Triangle Strategy Battle Warfare?
that's
Or
the
some weird working title.
one.
I
That's
mean,
one. It looks kind of cool, but like again, it's not really like my wheelhouse or anything I'm like specifically interested in. The thing that really got me was that like with the Zelda 35 year anniversary, they did the bare minimum. Like the bare minimum.
So that's something I did want to talk about. I mean, it does seem like everyone was celebrating the 35th anniversary except for Nintendo themselves. I mean, Skyward Sword's remaster or whatever it is. I mean, it's not my favorite. I like all Zelda games, but that is definitely not my favorite game. And also, I feel like that's a bit underwhelming for 35 years. Is that all? I've heard that we're apparently getting some Breath of the Wild 2 news later on in the year. I'm not sure how true that is, though.
Honestly, that doesn't really mean anything. They could be like, we're gonna give you some information in the future. And that says exactly the
Yeah.
same thing, you know what I mean? It was really lackluster for like a 35-year anniversary. Like it was like they almost kind of forgot, and then they had that dude rush out to be like, yeah, totally, it's coming.
Whisper in
Like,
the ear. Yeah.
he looked like he was not happy being up on like whatever that kind of platform was that he was standing on. He was like, yeah, there's some news coming. When? I don't know.
Oh God. I mean, oops. I again, and even outside of that, there was Splatoon. What are we on, three? That
Yeah,
they
but
strategically placed at the end.
bro, they
Just.
didn't show anything. They
Yeah, I
just
know. They just threw the title at you.
it. Do you know what's worse? It was they did that Spirited Away, like sections of Spirited Away. Do you know when Sen is on the train?
Oh,
They did like
yeah.
that whole thing, right? That whole Odyssey. But then they were like, "You're in Splatoon 3." I was like, "What? You're
God.
not gonna show no gameplay? Like nothing? Okay, cool."
I definitely think that was the just the it. I mean, and it's saying a lot because I feel like most directs or state of plays, whatever you want to call them, like they usually end on like something explosive, and it's kind of telling that if that is what you're ending on, a title card, you must not have much. And also, actually, just coming into my head now, I was saying this to him the other day, like Nintendo's, like their library last year, what came out last year, wasn't much.
Probably is Animal Crossing and The Legend of Zelda, the remaster for Link's Awakening.
It what, there you go. And this
Pokemon.
oh,
Say again?
Pokemon. Oh, you mean the DLC, right?
Yeah, that was DLC, but like it's not
Yeah,
really a full
it's not
game.
really, yeah. And it's looking like we're getting that again this year.
Mm.
I mean, do you think that maybe the pandemic's affecting Nintendo more than
absolutely is affecting them, but I think people forget that Nintendo just does this every now and again when they just have like a dry year.
I mean, every now and again, we've had no Metroid news. Like, there's games that that they have announced, so they're in there in the sphere, and people are waiting for news, and we're not getting anything. We're getting bloody Project Triangle Strategy. I haven't got a problem with that, by the way. I am playing Octopath Traveler at the moment, but.
Mm. In fairness, right, to the Metroid guys, like all the people who are like super excited to hear more about Metroid, like they did say they were restarting, like right from the beginning, like kind of first principles. They were like, we're going back to the drawing board. What we have now is nothing. We're gonna make Metroid 4 something better. So I'm like, yeah, it's gonna take some time before we like really hear anything from them.
Damn. I mean, I'd be lying if I say it's the Prime series, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I haven't actually played any of them.
I've only played them with mates. They're good fun, but like I've never sunk my teeth into them.
It's funny, the only Metroid I've played, ironically, is the I want to say Super, the whatever one was on the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I think it's Super Metroid.
It was good, but yeah, hopefully Nintendo pulls something out. I mean, I think they have a system where they have these games that you can kind of just go back in and play anyway. You know, Pokemon is constantly updating and it has a good online scene. Same with Smash, really. And Animal Crossing just got a massive update as well. Like, they have these games that you go back to, but then I feel like I really felt the lack of a big new title that tells you to, you know, buy this system.
Like system sellers.
Yeah. And it kind of feels like it's continuing for the next year, but we'll see.
Well, there is the Pokemon event that's happening tomorrow as of recording. So it's going to be Friday 26th. There's going to be a Pokemon reveal. I'm not getting my hopes up because how lackluster Nintendo have been.
Yeah.
If they show me something surprising, awesome. If they don't, okay.
Like, and also this has been the first big direct. Like, they've been doing little directs, but we haven't had like a, well, was supposed to be, yeah, indirects, but we haven't had like a big one for a while, and it's just disappointing. Nintendo, this is Bowser's fault. I'm blaming Bowser. I saw him.
He ousted Reggie, and now look what we've got.
He's taking off his human skin now. He's just there. Turtle shell and everything. Is there a state of play today or tomorrow or yesterday. Depending on when this comes out.
It's the 25th that it's happening, so it's today.
Oh, okay. That I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do want to see some God of War. But yeah, move.
Ken,
yeah,
man, I'm really excited to see some more Ken and Bridge of Shadows. Like, that's Bridge of Spirits. It's meant to be out this month, but everything's been delayed, so who knows?
Yeah, a lot of things did get delayed. Oh, actually, also, I've been hearing rumors that maybe the next Bethesda titles might actually be Xbox exclusives. Obviously, they didn't want to talk about it, and they were like, yeah, we're exploring options, but I think the deal with them and Microsoft goes, is it finalized in March sometime?
So here's where things get a bit spicy, right? I'm not sure if you've been keeping up, but Bethesda's in a couple of lawsuits at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a couple of class action lawsuits out with Bethesda and Fallout 4 in particular, with the way they with like, you know, when the game was coming out, they said that all the DLC will be free. Not free, sorry, that all the DLC is going to be the one season pass. You buy the season pass, you have all the DLC. Doesn't matter how much DLC comes in down the line,
you
have
get all it all.
This one price. Game came out, then they raised the price. Then on top of that, they did the whole Creation Club thing, if you remember that, where they were making us pay for mods, essentially. And what are mods if not downloadable content?
Yeah.
So it was DLC by another name, and we were getting charged again on top of that. So it's fraudulent practices is what they're being sued on. So here's the wildest part of all of this. The lawsuit kind of claims that if the lawsuit is won, like the, it's going to be like the excess of billions that Bethesda's going to have to pay out.
Microsoft's got that though. No, but like,
I'm joking. Yeah, but like, is Microsoft going to want to stay on track with buying Bethesda if they're suddenly going to have another 10 billion in debt?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's, I mean, I didn't even know about that. That's crazy. But I'm not surprised, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, no. The last like 5 years, and like I love Bethesda, but like the last 5 years of their business practices have been horrendous. Like some of the worst in the gaming industry, like hands down, worse than EA, worse than Activision. Like they made some decisions, and like some of the charging models for their games have been so egregious that it's like, how do you guys not? How are you not like ashamed of yourselves? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a... I think when it comes to Bethesda's practices and things, that's quite a hot conversation, because a lot of things that they do, people kind of be like, oh, it's just Bethesda, and how much goodwill do you ride on before all of a sudden it runs out and you're no longer... Look at BioWare.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, they're stopping Anthem now, isn't it?
Yep.
R.I.P. But let's move away from random game news that's just going to pop into my head, because my brain works like that.
The last couple of weeks have been ridiculous, man.
Yeah. I want to just have a quick talk about WandaVision with you guys. Just a question, actually, to be honest, because I don't know whether it's going to be next week or the week after, we'll probably have a review part two of the series. But Mr. Vision, oh, excuse me if I get his name wrong, is it Paul Bettany? He's said that there is someone that he's looking forward to. I don't have the quote on me, and there are rumblings, I'm not sure if it's come from his mouth directly or not, of a Luke Skywalker type cameo,
like something huge,
appearing in WandaVision, because there's two episodes left, isn't there? Yeah.
It's and Stan I just Lee.
Oh god,
I was just about to say that, but I thought it was too dark, so I didn't.
I mean,
okay, cool.
With this facial recognition, should be scary, man. Shit, scary these days. But I just wanted to ask you guys, who do you think that this person is going to be? I think they're exaggerating a little bit when they say Luke Skywalker type cameo.
I mean,
maybe it's...
there's Ian McKellen, there's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, I was going to say Hugh Jackman.
I mean...
Hugh Jackman.
I feel like... but how... Let's try and keep it within the confines of what's going on in the show. I feel like that would be a bit...
I feel like it can be an X-Men. I don't think it would be random.
No, with the Fox X-Men Quicksilver being in there. Like, I mean, they've opened the door.
I'm talking plot-wise. Why is Wolverine going to be there?
Because it's a cameo.
I can see Magneto turning up and being like, my children or some shit like that. I can see that.
Do you know who I'm kind of hoping? Reed Richards. I really want them to pull the Fantastic Four in there. That would be awesome.
That is another one that a lot of people... are saying. I mean, I think the main person that everyone looks to is Doctor Strange, but how Luke Skywalker-y of a cameo would that be, really? Seeing as we know that WandaVision is literally going into Multiverse of Madness, it's almost to be expected. And that's why I think maybe they are just hyping it up and it might just be Doctor Strange. I don't think it is.
It's too obvious, and like they've shown like in this series like so far, they're willing to kind of do some like crazy like curveballs and stuff, so I don't think they're going to play that on the nose.
I think he'll be there, but I hope we get someone else as well. if that makes sense. I do know him and Wanda, you know, they're like magic friends. Oh, friends. But I hate Reed Richards, but I think that would be amazing, because it's one thing we've already got Quicksilver, so we kind of are aware that they can pull from Fox, from the X-Men of Fox, but I think Reed Richards is just, that would be something totally new.
Are you saying that it would be fantastic for them to bring him in?
Oh god, that was good.
That's really good.
But yes.
Did you drink my coffee?
But I do hate Reed Richards. I just want to throw it out there. He is the worst husband. I say this to him all the time. He's the worst husband and he is the worst father. He is not that guy.
Isn't his son like super, super, super powered as well?
His son is like some Omega level. He's like the strongest mutant in the world, but they might have retconned that recently. He might not be a mutant anymore. But I don't read Fantastic Four. It's like a really boring comic, in my opinion.
Do you know who would be super into them bringing back as well? Legion. Legion's such a good character.
That's a deep, deep cut right there.
Dude, that character's amazing. Like his power set and like the mental health angle to like how he kind of like manifests his abilities and stuff is fascinating, like endlessly fascinating. Like the writing is so good. The short-lived show that they had like 2 seasons of, awesome. Really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it.
I hear that. I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think of the new Spider-Man title?
I like it. It's cute.
Spider-Man Home and Away.
Oh God. Do you think that it means something?
He's gonna die, I mean, and he's not gonna be in the MCU anymore. That's the meme.
Now he's going to prison.
I think he's going to Sony, or maybe that is prison.
That's what I mean.
Yo, that's a dark very ass title for them to like, just be like, you're not gonna have it.
they have their plans. You know, we've still got I've forgotten the name now. Mr. Vampire Man, Morbius. Mobius. And that's in the Sony. I'm gonna call it the Sonyverse. Mm-hmm. We've already got Venom, and I'm sure I could probably pull up enough things to say that to indicate that might be where Tom Holland. I mean, No Way Home. I don't know, man. That sounds a bit like Light Ram City.
That's what I said. He's not going coming somewhere. Back.
He's going somewhere, and also
so sad, Ram.
Yeah, I am sad. I don't want a Sony. It feels like the family is being split up. I don't like it.
I'm with you.
Okay, I've got a shout. So, all right. So there's apparently been rumors that, you know, I don't know about Tobey Maguire, but apparently Andrew Garfield has been seen around set, right?
Mm.
Obviously, Jamie Foxx is like confirmed to be playing the same Electro from Amazing Spider-Man.
J.K. Simmons is back as well.
So I would be happy with this, and I think you might accept this, Ram. If you throw Peter Parker away and then dash Miles Morales in the MCU, I'd be here for that.
I don't
want him to That's dash fine. Him.
Like, not dash him, like he can stay in Sony, and then it might actually make the Sonyverse good. And then maybe then Marvel wanna borrow him for a film or something, and then Tom Holland can jump over, like, you know, open the multiverse hole. I don't know
I will open
the Nexus, and then so you'd end it there. It'll be all sad, and then post credit scene, right? Like, you know, a pool opens up, and then a black dude falls out. I'd be like, oh, what's going on? And this Miles Morales, yep.
Do you know what they can do? If they were really like wanting to get crazy with it, like, you know, in Into the Spider-Verse, the collider that they built, someone rebuilds it, and they have a swap of Miles and Peter going to the Sonyverse and to the MCU that way, like in the next Into the Spider-Verse or something like that. That would be cool. That would be super cool.
I think there's a lot they could do there, and I like Tom Holland, but at the same time, I feel like that would be fun. It's a good way to bring Miles. I mean, we've you know, Childish is going to be Aaron, apparently. I don't really can't really see him becoming a predator, but
me neither. I think they just gave it to him because he said he wanted to be Spider-Man one time.
Yeah, it was more of a cameo thing.
He's too small to like fit that character. Do you know what I mean?
I just wanted to say quickly, very quickly, rest in peace to Kurama, the nine-tailed fox.
Yo,
spoilers for the manga. I don't even read I don't read Boruto, but we're about to spoil it. Apparently the fox is dead. I don't even understand how that is even possible in the realm of Naruto. I don't know what's changed. I don't know what's going on anymore. That shit scares me. That manga scares me.
The worst part of all of that is that like the author just came back.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh man, it's gonna be so great, he's finally back. And he was like, you think you're ready?
Psych.
Yeah, you're ready.
I stopped watching Boruto a very long time ago, and I never read the manga. I just literally on my Insta, I saw it, and I was so shocked. I was like, this isn't real. And then I looked it up, and I'm like, oh my, this, he hasn't even got the whiskers anymore. Oh my days, what is happening? What are they doing to my boy?
Like a meme. It looks like a meme. It doesn't look like something real. You
know yeah, I mean? It does look like fake news to me.
Or one of them, you know, remember
Alex
like,
Jones talking about like manga.
Like, what was it? Do you remember back in the day when there was like Super Saiyan 5?
Yes.
All them fake,
my dude,
fake Super Saiyan with like the blue or the white hair and all that crazy
that
stuff.
That was my jam. Like the cryptids of the anime world. That shit was amazing. We could like do a whole episode on like the weird Mandela effect of like all the crazy shit that
oh my days
so good. Like that shit is so fascinating to me.
There's so much things that I thought especially in Dragon Ball Z that I thought was real, and it's like nah, it was just it was very popular fan fiction in a time when the internet was still wild as hell.
For real, it was like some dude whose art slapped, like that's all it was.
Yeah, literally that. And a last bit of news, or a bit of outrage before we move on to the main topic, is Promised Neverland. The fans are not happy with the anime.
Did they not just like cut the
throw it away
out entirely? Did they just cut her out?
No, they,
Ram can explain. I'm not aware of the
I'm not completely up to date, but from what I have read on the internet and from conversations, they've cut out a big arc which introduces you to a lot of characters, and then they've introduce some characters that you don't really see until the last arc very early.
Why?
I don't know. So I'm like, confused.
The manga's done. What are they put like padding for time for?
I don't know. Like I just feel like the story is a very good, concise story. So don't like you know some mangas you can kind of be like, oh, I see how if they spin it off this way, it might be more interesting. But this is not the case, so I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm confused. I'm not watching anymore.
Yeah, no, totally fine. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, the OG Fullmetal Alchemist, when they watched it, they were like, what is this? This isn't Fullmetal Alchemist, because they were reading it. And, like,
I mean, yeah.
I totally get that, but, like, at least with Fullmetal Alchemist, they had the caveat of, like, the series not being done and they had to like animate, so like I get that side at least. This makes no sense.
I mean, more recently, look at Tokyo Ghoul. That was just a whole well, I don't even understand why when. And the worst thing about Ghoul is they created a whole like almost an anime only season 2.
Yes,
and then season 3 was just like back to no sense. I feel sorry for people that only watch Tokyo Ghoul, because that was a struggle.
It was just like this weird rubber band thing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like you just kind of whip back. Like, where am I?
Yeah. Like, how did I get here? Huh? Ice? Who? But yeah, hopefully with Promised Neverland, because I really enjoyed season 1. It's funny. I've only watched like 2 episodes of season. Sometimes it works out in the end, if you get what I'm saying, but who knows.
I've started reading it, so I'm just good to continue reading it. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, Ram really loves the manga, so I think I might have to just switch over to that.
I mean, I might revisit the series when it's done, just to see what they were trying to do. But I feel like the manga's pretty perfect as it is. So just that's where I'm a bit like, I don't understand these major deviations. It's not even like a slightly small like turn or whatever. But yeah.
Who knows? I think it might end up just being wild, but that's only Tokyo Ghoul burning me. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
But anyways, on to the main event. So the journey for me was, you know, when I watch something, I like to, when I watch something that I feel should be more talked about than it is, I always kind of start trying to pitch everyone to watch it. And in my mind, it is some sort of an obscure anime. So the initial idea was to do an episode about hidden gems. And then I started doing some research, and World Trigger, this was the anime I was talking about, because it's ongoing. It's in this current crop of this of anime that's coming out right now. And for me personally, unless I go looking for like the chatter on it, I literally don't see anyone talking about it. But then when I go and do some research on it, I thought I had the numbers here, but I don't. It's not really that obscure. Actually, it's selling quite well at the moment.
It's just the quietest fans in the world.
Yeah, especially physical. I think it was for physical sales, one of the, or digital sales, one or the other. It was like top in one for one of the months for the latest volume. And it's in top 10 all the time. Well, as I'm guessing as this current anime run is going. So I kind of realized, I mean, I can't really turn around and start recommending this as a hidden gem, because it's not really a hidden gem. So I was just looking at, I started looking for hidden gems because I realized how much of a normie that I am. And a lot of, there's quite an elitist air about people when they recommend hidden gems to you. Now, we've spoken a little bit about gatekeeping before. And it just made me think about how accessible some of these anime can be, if the lack of accessibility or accessibility is it true, or is it that people make you feel that it's not really accessible? And to build on that, we had a statement that came out, or well, that some random dude I know his name, it's in front of me, but we're not going to say it, we're not going to waste that time. If you know, you probably know. Calling out what he called fake fans. I can't remember what it was. He said that if you only watch a certain type, so well-known anime, you should just not bother watching anime. You should stay out of the community. What I found quite interesting is the list, which I thought I put here. Am I bugging out? Some of the anime I could be like, okay, that's very popular. That's popular. But some of them I'm like, well, not... You know, this is very subjective, my friend. Like, do you know what I mean?
That's, and I think like that is the nail on the head that we'll come back to, but like the subjective nature of it all. But I just want to like highlight that right now. Like, that's subjective.
and just, you know, we perused his page, and I mean, this guy is a gatekeeper. He probably. Doesn't have a house, he just sleeps by a gate. with a trident or something. I don't know, like the medieval people.
It's like a troll under a bridge. It's the same job.
And I just thought, and it just got me thinking, you know, just wanted to get to the bottom of why people gatekeep. Are these people wicked, evil people? Is there something else going on with these people? So we're going to definitively, as we always do, get to the bottom of this. I mean, just off of the top of your heads, why do you guys think, like, what are the main reasons behind gatekeeping, do you think?
I think there's, like, from, like, the kind of gatekeeping that I see and, like, the kind of gatekeepers that I've interacted with, there's, like, there's several charitable angles I want to kind of give them. That I get to a certain degree. I'm not excusing it. I'm not making it something that's acceptable. But
we're not excusing anything, by the way. We're just being very objective.
What I'm saying is, we still need to understand kind of the things that underpin the behavior, right? Like the behavior doesn't come out of nowhere. Like I feel like a lot of the time, like in niche mediums or niche kind of like hobbies or interests, a lot of the time the people who are in them are ostracized from other things. So I feel like some of these people, their gatekeeping is a self-defense thing, where they're like, we don't want to be pushed out of our own community, because if it gets big, we're going to be ostracized again. That's where I see the psychology from, like, a lot of these kind of gatekeepers. And to that I'm like, that kind of insecurity is deeply, deeply unhealthy, and you need to talk to someone.
I agree. Ram?
I guess there's different levels to it. Like, sometimes I guess people, kind of like what Hassan already said, are like protective of the spaces that they're in, especially if they feel like it's a space that they've been like ridiculed for or whatever. But I think that sometimes there is also like a superiority complex to it, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. does feed into like being protective, I guess, because like I know that there are certain things that I have been like a super fan of, and someone talks to me about it and it's clear to me that they haven't dedicated the same amount of time that I have. And so there's always a little part of me that's like, ah, oh, you're not a real fan. But I would like never say that to anybody, because mm-hmm. there are other things that I know that I like that I haven't dedicated my whole life to, that I couldn't write a PhD about or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I still enjoy those things, and that doesn't make me a fake fan or whatever. It just means that I'm engaging with it on a different level. So I do think that insecurity thing comes up all the time, but I think it is also sometimes like a protective.
It's funny, the insecurity thing. So I was browsing, you know, the website of All Knowledge, aka Reddit, and there was some interesting diagnoses that people were coming up with, especially with the security insecurity thing. And one thing that stood out to me is like, in this kind of competitive capitalistic society, right, where it's quite individualist, you have to excel at something, right, to be someone in life, there's a lot of people who feel let's say mediocre, or like they're just not winning at life. Yeah. And you know, you go to school and you see the guys that's good at maths, you see the guys that are good at like sports and English and science, and there's this sort of like defense mechanism where people feel inadequate because they don't really have much going on for themselves. So what they do is they gravitate towards things that, no, and please don't get offended, anyone that listens to this, but you gravitate to things that don't really require any sort of like skill, as in like being very proficient in the Star Wars universe, for example, like, and that becomes that person's thing. I mind the Kyber crystal myself. But it's quite fascinating that I do think that there's definitely other things in play. I think what you said, Rem, about being protective of your space is a very important thing. I think especially when it comes to what people gatekeep, there can actually be a flip side to it, mm-hmm. where the average Joe, or you know, just the normal person, might look at what you're into and kind of look down on it. But mm-hmm. you kind of have this thing of, well, that's fine because I've got my people here, we're happy mm-hmm. here. And then say that community starts to grow and expand, and then people all of a sudden, you're sent what you've so strongly tied your identity to, it's kind of being infringed upon by people who you think are not. I mean, sometimes it might be, you know, based off of something like actually valid. Let's say people that come into your space to monetize off of it, but don't actually care about building the community mm-hmm. or actually care about the community they're in. They're just trying to use it to build their own like platform or whatever, be it. I get that, but doesn't make it okay. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing of like, oh, who are you? Like, I know all 12 bloody Naruto seals. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank. But you know, like you don't even know Naruto's mom's name or something like that. I guess that's where the ego kind of comes in. Like, all these people that might be in your space that are kind of benefiting off it more than you, but you feel like you should be benefiting because you made this thing or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
The thing that like really gets it for me, especially with this conversation about like anime and very specifically entertainment, is that it belies the problem of gatekeeping is universal. Like, if there is a community of it, there is gatekeeping in it, there's elitism in it, and there is these kind of people, like these like horribly insecure and like very judgmental people. And what we need to do is not get bogged down on the subject matter itself. It's the gatekeeping, it's the behavior, and it's the psychology that we need to like bring to the light a bit more. It's like there's gatekeeping in maths, there's gatekeeping in science, there's gatekeeping in like anything that's academic as well as like entertainment. It's
I mean, anything, I think
is my point. It's a human issue.
Yeah. Look, the example I found that was quite interesting, that's so obvious, but I never think of coffee, but people are, you know, a bit snobby towards coffee drinkers. But if you try to come to a coffee drinker and be like, oh yeah, I like coffee, and then you're only drinking, you know, mochas or like lattes, that coffee drinker is going to be like,
my dude, like I love coffee, but like coffee people are insufferable. Like
Levi's a coffee person.
I'm a coffee person, and I know I can get pretty insufferable about it.
I'm not a coffee person.
I really try hard not to be, but it's like, I think the caffeine makes us angry and
I mean, I think there's a line, and I think there's a difference between being a little bit snobby and being a gatekeeper. Do you agree or disagree with me there?
I think because we kind of talked about it before. Yeah, like I feel like there's a bit of a difference, because I feel like people, for example, people are really snobby about music. Like people who enjoy pop music always get snobbed on. But I don't think that really, like, that doesn't stop you from exploring more music or whatever. Or like you can say, oh, like, for example, I'll be like, I'm like that with fantasy. I don't think that's snobbiness exactly. It's probably like exclusion or whatever, but like I'm very picky about certain things that I watch or read, but I that's a personal thing that doesn't really
that's the key,
someone else.
I think that the key issue is it's when you start to say that other people aren't welcome because
of
your preferences and things that are subjective to you. That's when it becomes an issue. Like if you ever find yourself going, I like these things specifically, and if you don't like them, you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. That's just
you a basic ass bitch.
Yeah, like that's a good rule of thumb, right? Like if you're like, oh, these entertainment things are the things I love, and everyone else is wrong. No, stop. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Let the people enjoy the things they want to enjoy.
And especially when people are aggressive with it. I feel like there's a
If you liked the last Star Wars film, I think you're wrong. But
stop gatekeeping.
No, but like it's wrong for me, but like I totally accept your ability to like trash. Believe that. Like, it's totally fine. Like
I mean, I feel like that's where the difference comes in, though. I feel like also there's a kind of a level of intent where you can jokingly say da 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 or whatever you want, but it's when I feel like that gentleman who's his tweets and
go on his page and jackass, like just call him what he is.
That dude, you go on his page, right, and it's just setting these levels, because obviously he is the overseer of all things nerdy, and he just says, you know, you can't, if you don't like this, then I don't know what you're doing here. If you don't like this, and this it's that thing of making people feel uncomfortable. I do feel like you can be a bit snobby and people are okay with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This might sound like gatekeeping, but also like with regards to that dude, like it kind of was like, who are you there? I feel like my major thing of like the things that he was listing as being for the normies, because that's the word that he used, those things exist outside of like the black or like just Western anime viewers. Like those are, that's like a Japanese mangaka who's just wrote this piece of work that even it got popular in the West, but he would have written that piece of work regardless. And I think like with stuff like My Hero, like maybe it is more popular in the West than it is in Japan, but you're not, I don't understand how you can gatekeep someone else's work that they're like, who likes it doesn't impact the fact that the work is out there in the first place. So you can't maybe, really say
just that.
You're a normie.
Like, maybe just that. It's like,
what are you talking about?
How are you, a black person in a different country, meant to be the be all or end all, like about a piece of work that was written in Japan?
Yeah,
a culture that's nothing like, to do with you.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, if you're a white dude and you're like, oh, anime should only be for like white people, you're wrong. Like how could you be that like insane? Like it's so stupid to me. I'm like, listen, like the benefit of the doubt and all that kind of stuff aside, right, like there is a lot of maliciousness to this gatekeeping, and there's a lot of maliciousness and like sexism and like misogyny to it. That shit, there is no excuse. Like I find like a lot of the time, like these comments, they use the anime and they use like the manga and they use games and they use like any entertainment as the vehicle for their misogyny.
For the yeah, yeah,
like their homophobia. And yeah, like, that's no, you're a shitty person. It doesn't matter what your point about this movie or whatever it is. You're just trying to be a shitty person. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's one of the things that we were talking about the other day, where I was like, well, like I think gatekeeping, women are always gatekept in everything. I can't remember what the exact, I don't know, Levi, you'll have to remind me. But I feel like
if name you are, name all four Hokage Ram, go.
See, go. That's what I mean.
You're not like, if fam. You're in, you're a, from the pod.
In a if you're in the geek sphere, it doesn't matter. I know where it was. We were talking about the fact that like maybe some people feel like, oh, like people didn't like this beforehand and now they're coming to my space and blah blah blah. That is always the case for women. It doesn't matter if you've been like an anime fan your whole life, or you've been a gamer your whole life, or you've been like a reader your whole life. Like if you engage, not all men, obviously, because that's not the case, but like if you, there's always some man who's gatekeeping something, especially in the nerd sphere. And I find that really weird, because it like there is no kind of, in the same way as like they might accept a guy just being like, yeah, I like Naruto, they'll be like, oh, okay. Like you might even like kind of be like, oh, okay, he's like me, like I thought he was this guy but he's like me. But like I don't understand why that doesn't apply to women. Obviously, I know why, but it's just very,
I mean, there's a lot of disenfranchised men out there, and they like, these people spend a lot of time on the internet. You know, you've got your, what was it, men going their own way,
incels, I think you're thinking about
incels. No, this so there's a group called, I'm sure it's MGTOW, men going their own way. It's like men like, we will not be,
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, come on. Oh, no. You guys are not on the internet, man. You guys need to jump like, on Quora, all that good stuff.
I'm on the internet, but like I curate the shit that I go to.
Alright, let me just Wikipedia for you lot, yeah. So men go in their own way, because this does have a Wikipedia page, and there is an actual they have a logo, apparently.
No. No.
I think this was I think this is what the BBC, apparently this was on BBC, Reggie Yates done an episode about men going their own way. But it is an anti-feminist, misogynistic, mostly online community advocating for men to separate themselves from women and from society, which
I mean, please go ahead.
Yo, I ain't stopping you, mate.
The community is part of the Manosphere, which is a collection of anti-feminist websites. Oh, we need to do an episode on this.
I will not be joining.
This also includes men's rights movements, incels, and pickup artists. So this is the Manosphere, guys. Websites, blogs, online forums. Very interesting. You learn a new thing every day.
Yeah. Oh my god! I wish I hadn't learned that. If I'm entirely honest.
I didn't need to know that either. That just makes me more angry.
I feel like it's a lot of that rage, and I know it doesn't always extend, I know it's not exclusively white people, but you know, there's a lot of white male rage, you know, maybe about their lack of success in life or with women, and you know how, you know, like a lot of men say they have a lot to say about women, but when you break it down and it's like, well, all it is that you just want a woman to basically just be this exact thing, which is usually a big titty goth girl, if we're talking about anime heads, that loves anime but doesn't talk out of time.
They don't want a relationship, they want a slave.
Yeah,
that's like
they don't actually understand what it means to have a meaningful relationship with someone. And they've been watching too much obscure anime, and yeah, they just
anime is not where you learn about interpersonal relationships.
Trust me,
that is not where you learn.
That leads on to the question, which I feel like we've probably answered in a bad way. Should we vilify these gatekeepers?
Yes. Yes, we should. What are you talking? What?
Okay,
well, hold on. If you're listening to this episode and you've gotten to this point and you're still defending gatekeepers, how? Just explain.
I only think playing devil's advocate, I think people that have more obscure tastes might feel that they are being identified as a gatekeeper. Okay. Dude, I mean, if you keep your taste to yourself, do you? That's no, absolutely
it's
fine.
Not even about keeping your taste to yourself. It's never about like what the taste is. It's about how you are talking to people.
Or minimizing other people's. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I don't judge you on what you like or what you. It's what you do. Your actions and your words are what I judge you on. If you belittle people, if you insult people, if you are homophobic or like sexist, that is the stuff I'm judging you on, but not what you're watching.
But don't you think there's a room there to educate people to help bring the community together? Because I do think in the nerd community, and this might be a I might be opening a can of worms here, might be for another episode. I do think with the nerddom, there is a divide between, like, I don't know if you want to say like old school neckbeardy nerds and this kind of new generation, like. Do I want to say you're like a hybrid nerd or something? I don't know, but I'm sure you get what I'm saying.
Personally, don't think we should directly be vilifying gatekeepers. First of all, because half the time that a real gatekeeper is like a Hollywood exec who told you that you can't make this movie, or like people who've actually actively stopped. So first of all, those people don't actually count. You're not a gatekeeper.
Your gate is not real.
Yeah, like you're standing in front of nothing. So I don't think those people are gatekeepers, but I think that we should kind of strive to, because like, for example, I hate to bring up the K-pop fandom, but I feel like that's the fandom that I've probably been most like entrenched in. There are some really toxic things in there, but there are also really lovely people in there that you can like learn from. And I think that, for example, if I had taken all of my like, I've been a BTS fan since day one, blah, 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 kind of crap and like stood with it, I probably would have missed out on like meeting people who maybe don't know as much as I do or did at the time. I mean, some of this information is stuck in my head forever, but like, I wouldn't have been able to like make those friends or like learn more about new groups and so on. And I think that like these spaces have a really good, like, I think I've met new K-pop fans, for example, who are so like eager and like really want to learn. And then like, I'm just like, I don't want to call it like a mentee mentor thing, because that's not what it is.
But it's a community. Like
inclusive. I feel like if the fake gatekeepers could like jump off their high horse, like you probably would connect to loads of people who are like always on the lookout for anime recommendations, or who are like, you know, very new or very fresh and want to like branch out. Or, like, you know, like you 100%. Don't, you can literally be a hand holder. You don't need to be a gatekeeper.
No, but like that's it.
Maybe not hand holder. Exactly.
Like my whole thing about this, like kind of is, it's like, There is like so many like side tangent, like wrong things that are going on in this conversation at the moment, like, because everyone is so heated. And like in some places, like rightly so to be heated, but like no one's going to get like, no one's going to learn anything. No one's going to grow or develop as a person if we're just at each other's throats, right? The people who are like, who are out here doing all this, like, there's a certain point where it's like, for me, I'm always going to try and come at people with compassion and like understanding and go, okay, why do you believe what you believe? How did you come to this conclusion, right?
Have some back and forth, or even, right, do you know,
right? To have a discourse. Yeah, but like there's a certain point where it's not my responsibility. Like I'll do my best. I'm going to always try and be the best person I can be in any given situation. But if I feel like the other party is not willing to listen, not willing to grow, not willing to change, or to even kind of have the idea that they could be wrong, there is no going forward, right? Like, and I'm not going to waste my time on that. I refuse to.
Yeah, 100%. I think we kind of already answered this question. I was going to say, if gatekeeping is bad, what about snobbery? Or it's elitism.
It's the same thing.
Keep it to yourself.
don't even belittle someone's. Else's.
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like I am a snob, but I'm not. I'm never gonna turn around and be like, unless you're my siblings, because I'm allowed.
I'm a snob.
The gloves are off.
I gatekeep Josh and Xbox because Xbox sucks.
I can be, but like I think the key is acknowledging when you are, and like seeing when you've like crossed the line, or like if you think you're gonna cross the line.
Yeah,
like
with other people. Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Like accept you're wrong and like apologize, like, if you've hurt someone's feelings. Like just be a nice person. Like, and that's the bottom line. It's just have some tact.
There's channels for this. You can literally go on Discord. If you are an elitist and you only watch anime that less than 1,000 people have watched, you can probably go on a Discord or a Reddit and find people like yourself to talk about anime. You don't have to go to everyone else and be like, this is the best one. You lot ain't seen it because you lot are normies. You lot are rubbish. You don't know nothing. Only me and my two friends are just go and talk to your two friends.
Yeah, or just like as you were saying earlier, Ram, it's like me and my two friends have seen this really cool anime. How about you guys go and watch it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
how
it.
Hard is that?
I think there's this kind of bitterness of like people, like when you are in your group and then everyone's like, oh yeah, I love anime, and then it's just Attack on Titan, for example, just because Attack on Titan's going on at the moment every week. That's all they're talking about. And but it's like, deal with your issues, guys.
That still annoys me, because I'm like, some random man in Japan has worked so hard for his like anime to pop off, and you have the audacity to call it like
normie stuff.
Like,
let's see your work, bro. Let's see your manga.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what have you written?
You don't want to see that kind of fan fiction, man.
No,
oh, titties. It's never good. I know it's gonna be just titties. Don't show us your manga, bro. is it okay to be protective over something that you love?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very human thing to like go, I love this thing. I want it to be in a good place.
Yeah.
But the moment you start to infringe on the people around you, you are in the wrong.
Yeah.
That is like in every single kind of interaction you can have with anyone ever, just be a good person, have some tact. That's it. It's not that hard.
And animes, we're in the West, just using the anime as an example. Anime is an Eastern product.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances are there's going to be a high volume of niche and obscure things within that category anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're someone who likes, this is how I feel about music, for example, if you're someone who likes that sort of thing, you are going to have to accept that you are always going to be on the outskirts of that community.
Mm.
If you listen to, I can't even think of a very obscure, I don't know, if you listen to bloody synth music, right? Unless you're in some synth community doing your industrial dancing and stuff, you're not going to go to the Billboard 100 and find synth music there.
You ain't seen these moves.
he's but like you won't see the music you want in the top 100 popular music. That is the lane that you've chosen. You're gonna have to stay in that lane. And I think it goes for anime. If you happen to like the obscure anime, accept that you are going to be in a obscure, like a smaller group of people. You can't get upset because the masses are just watching Boruto and Attack on Titan. If you want to be part of that crowd, flipping sit down and watch Attack on Titan.
Also, let's be realistic. I feel like those the same people will get upset if someone, like if everyone starts watching their favorite anime and then it becomes popular. Yeah. So like, kind of stop being a hypocrite and just like your thing.
Own your insecurities.
Yeah, like that. I think that's the most important thing. It is owning your insecurities, because it's like,
You want something so that you can be like, this is my club. You want some power. You want something to be knowledgeable about. You want to tell someone something and they have to listen to you because they don't know themselves. Deal with it, my guys.
I climbed this anime mountain, bask in my glory.
My last question to Ram. Why do you think that men tend to gatekeep popular culture from women?
Dumb. No, I'm joking.
Oh, I'm offended.
Isolate that.
I don't know. I think it's because some men have issues. But I don't know. It's weird because I think that even men who I've thought of as being quite like, not I don't want to use the word progressive, but men who I'm looking at them and I'm like, I don't think you have any like direct issues with women, will still do this thing of being like, oh yeah, have you, like flexing for no reason. And I don't know sometimes whether it's like meant to be like a flirty type thing or what, which it might be, but I just like, I've noticed that it's just almost like an inherent thing that they just do, whether they're coming from like a place of like,
oh, do you think there's some peacocking involved? Yeah,
yeah, no, there definitely is sometimes, because I think also it's like when me and you go to like Forbidden Planet or whatever, and how many other girls that are in there are always getting some kind of attention.
There is like, never, yeah, there's never a lonely woman in Forbidden Planet.
Yeah, never.
Poor women.
So I don't really, I guess because it's like a, I couldn't give you an answer. You probably have to ask the man.
I think there's a lot of psychological things going on there. I think being part of something, for example, I studied engineering. I'm quite mathematically inclined. So in school, for example, in college and university, I was just bag of dudes in all of my classes. Do you know what I mean? Where some people who might have done business and stuff, they had all the gyal in there, innit? I feel like being into like pop culture, maybe more traditionally than nowadays, it has been quite a male dominated thing, and I'm not gonna get into why. That's neither here nor there, but you know, I think some guys, when they see, you know, nowadays, you know, hot girl looking at, you know, some manga, they don't know how to behave.
I think what's more annoying for me though is that like I feel like women are generally so accepting, and just because I think I work, study, went to live, like all my life has been very like female oriented, and I've always been into like, I don't know, popular culture or whatever. And I feel like even though I had like only one other friend or like two other friends in my friendship group who were like had similar interests, there was never any kind of like a, like, you like that or whatever. It might be, sometimes you might get the odd like, oh, it's Ram's weird stuff, but it was never like I never felt excluded or anything like that. And I just don't understand why men can't have the same type of thing. Because I would never feel uncomfortable to say to a woman, oh yeah, like I'm really into XYZ or whatever, and feel like they were A, going to judge me, or that they were going to try and gatekeep me. Like, if anything, we'll probably just have a really nice conversation about how, like, because I think I hate to say I'm an alternative girl, but like that's how it felt most of like me growing up. And then like when I did meet especially like other alternative black girls, it would always be like, oh my god, you're into this, da, 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 da. But like when it's a man, for some strange reason, there's always like some kind rivalry. Of barrier of like, oh okay, like, oh, if you're really into it, then have you watched this one. And it's like, well, like, why does there have to be like why can't I have the same conversation that I just had with a girl who probably like some girls who have like are more experienced anime, which is have like watched more anime than me or listen to more of this music or whatever. And it's just never this like competition. It's always like a, let me take you under my wing type thing. But guys can't do that. So maybe it's just a biology thing. I'm joking. I don't think you two have been like that. And I've met both of you, I don't know, different times. So no. You must be the only two guys in the world.
No.
I mean, we're great.
Yeah, but I didn't want to say it, but now you said it. It's a more complicated problem than just identifying one side of it and going, that affects everything. There's a cultural kind of underpinning thing. There's a societal underpinning thing. There's so many things that lead to these bad, like kind of negative behavioral patterns. We need to break them all individually before we can kind of really change meaningfully. So like, you know, when you talk to guys and like guys growing up, the way that you're like kind of raised is to like sports and do certain things.
That competitive kind of,
right? Yeah. Right. Like, and like there's this expectation of what being a man is. And that it's also kind of like how you are meant to go, like deal with women, and like, or like there's so many kind of like behavioral patterns that like if you're taught this and you don't have any context by dealing with people from the other gender, like it's horrifically toxic. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you have no context to kind of work with, like, it's really toxic information.
I think men can be gatekeepy towards men, you know. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's not even... There is a sense of rivalry, you're right. It does transcend just...
Men, you need to sort yourselves out because this is ridiculous.
No, for real. We need to stop instilling this idea of, like, if you're not this, you're not a man, right? Like, we need to be kinder to each other, and we need to accept that we have, like, kind of a range of what being a dude is, right? Like, there's so many, again, like, there's so many, like, taught behaviors that we need to unlearn.
100%.
And it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to do.
Like, man's brain. Actually, you know what? I think men just gatekeep everything. Because now that I think about it, I could be, like, the most knowledgeable on something and someone's still going to be like, yeah, and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I know. Like, just leave it. Anyway, I don't take gatekeeping very well, so.
No, but
don't,
like,
try.
That's fair. It's like, why should you? Do you know what I mean?
100%, that's it. All right, guys. Have you got anything else to add on that before we... start gatekeeping ourselves? No, I'm joking.
I was just gonna say that it's worse for black women, but I feel like everything is worse, so
yeah, that's yeah. Unfortunately, it's universal. Okay, so before we go, like I said, this was supposed to be an Anime Hidden Gems episode, so we're gonna talk about, well, we're just gonna shout out some suggestions that you may or may not watch. Probably my bet is Hassan has got the actual hidden gems.
Yeah, I don't have any hidden gems. Can I just throw
mine out, because I feel like you're gonna go the longest.
Yeah, go first, Ram.
I'll finish off. You go first, Ram.
Go on.
I don't really watch that much anime, to be honest with you. I think my one that I always tell people to watch is but I read more manga than I watch anime. I think Erased is always my go-to, for because I feel like no one that I know has watched it yet, so that's how I'm basing it as a hidden gem. I just think it's a really good story and it's really short, and I think the writer of it as well has, like, another manga called For the Kid that I saw in my dreams, which is also a really good story, and kind of the same vibe of, like, this murder, like, not murder, like, trauma and stuff like that, which I think is really interesting. And I've never seen it explored that explicitly in a, like, a manga or anime before, and yeah, I feel like all my hidden gems are, like, mangas, so yeah, that's it.
Firstly, I will take this opportunity to shamelessly plug World Trigger in here, because I think everybody should be watching World Trigger. Hopefully it continues, because I know that this is one of those manga club with health issues, so I do know that it can be a bit sporadic. But if you like battle shonen sci-fi twist with a not overpowered specialized character that is actually... I'm at the B rank calls at the moment, Hassan. So,
mate, there has never been a more underpowered protagonist in any piece of writing.
You know what I like? It's like you think he's gonna, like, get his little skill up. Like, he'll go to, like, the number one shooter for advice, and the guy'll be like, "I don't think you're good enough for my techniques." And you're like, "Oh!"
But he's not even physically fit. Like, it's too wild.
I like, he's like, "Yeah, I just gotta train harder," and they're like, "You gotta do a bit more than that." But another one I spoke about in our anime episode with Regina a couple episodes back, go listen to that.
It was really good.
Was Kiba. That was an anime only, it's an OVA, so it was an anime only. I just found it on a whim on Crunchyroll when it was free. It's kind of isekai-ish, but not really. It's not a game, it's just another world. It's quite dark, it's not, but at the same time, it's quite colorful. It's a good time. And I would also recommend Mobile Suit Gundam. Now, that's not really a hidden gem, but I feel like for our age, and maybe, like, people are into anime and manga now, they might have missed out something like that.
Are you saying for the kids in our day, we used to have this thing called Gundam?
Yes. There was a genre. There was a genre of anime once that was very popular that is all but vanished now, called the mecha genre. And one of the kings of that genre was Mobile Suit Gundam.
Go on, Grandad. Tell us about your about the wars.
The wars. I mean, I won't get too much into it. I'll just say that there's a million different like series and offshoots and things, and I've heard good things about some of them. I'm more talking about the original Mobile Suit Gundam with Amuro and the Ras Clark World Boss Dash Shah. I love that character. You know, the guy with the blonde hair. Oh my God. I just came here to laugh at you all. I love that guy. He's just such a chief.
He's such a jerk-up. Like, rarely do like villains in anime make me as like livid as he did. Like,
it's just but ridiculous. At the same time, you admire him. You're just like,
that's what made me angry. I was like, why am I rooting for you? Like,
you're a guy. You know, war between Earth and an Earth colony. There's some cool twists. There's some good concepts. And I mean, I read the manga. I've got like the hardback volumes.
Mm.
The art in there is so good. It doesn't even feel like you're reading the manga. It feels like you're reading a comic sometimes. I cannot explain how, but it's really good. And those are my kind of not really hidden gems.
I've got two for us today. The first one is called Kekaishi. It is about these two families of they're like demon slayers, like kind of priests, and they're both kind of descended from one line from far, far back in time, and they have to protect this one piece of land that attracts demons, and if the every night. The demons like kind of congregate, and if they're there for too long, they grow stronger and stronger. So they have to like destroy them before daybreak. It is one of the funniest, one of the most charming and heartbreaking like manga and anime like I've read and watched. Like, it is fantastic. It got they like ran two seasons of it as an anime. I don't know if they canceled it or. It's just like on hiatus, but definitely check that one out. It is fantastic, and it's like if you like your shonen mangas and that kind of stuff, like this is the one for you. Check out Kakashi. And my other one, which was actually like recommended to me recently, is called Goodnight Pun Pun.
That sounds interesting.
Yes, I'll go with interesting.
Oh, so, don't say that.
I wouldn't recommend it if it was bad. Right, this thing is fantastic. Like,
it's I'm just looking at it now.
My dude,
not in a good way. In a good way, but
my dude. In like this like so. Let me give like a quick description, because I'm going to peel back some information because I don't want to spoil anything about this. You want to go in as blind as possible. It's a coming of age.
You're
gonna
say you don't want to horrify us.
So it's a coming of age story. It's a coming of age story of this kid called Pun Pun. Him and his family are all drawn as like this really like basic little bird, and it's like super cute, and like everything else is like highly stylized, and like
it is weirdly, not super like, cute.
No, like I mean... the bird, like the little bird, is like a very like, you know, like kind of doodly little bird. Like
it's like I'm looking at it now. But, like it's
like the rest of the world is like super detailed, and like the art is like fascinating. Like there's so much going on. Like it's awesome. But like all of that like kind of belies like how deep of a story this really is, and like how wild like they're willing to kind of go with like really exploring the human element of a child's story growing up. It's fantastic. Like, highly recommend this one.
It looks really good. The art looks, that's what I was saying earlier to it. It looks really realistic, like kind of scary in a way.
It's like too human, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think that is an episode, guys. Mm. So before we go, what have you guys been up to?
I finished Bowser's...
Fury?
Yeah, I finished Bowser's Fury. I'm reading Goodnight Pun Pun.
Sorry.
And yeah, that's about it. I've just kind of been chilling, to be honest, like just taking it nice and easy.
I hear that. I'm new from last week. I'm on the closing chat. I think I've got about 5 chapters left of Light of the Republic, Star Wars. I really enjoyed it. Do you know what? I found out that there's a sect of Star Wars fans that are like saying don't read anything in the High Republic because it's woke trash. And I'm like, there was nothing in this book that was woke. The wokest thing in this book is the fact that the main protagonist is not a white male. That's like the only thing. I'm like, there's nothing woke about. Like,
that is really progressive. That's like in the universe of aliens and whatnot. That one
actually,
dude's not woke.
Listen, look, so one thing Rams see me do, yes, I'll be reading Star Wars and I have to go on Google because it'll be like, oh, Teknak, the Ivorian bounty hunter. And I'm like, what the fuck is an Ivorian? I have to keep Googling all of these like alien races that are making up the main protagonists. I love it though. I do love it. And I'm like, this is, I can imagine this group of people and it's so style. And I won't even say diverse. I'm going to say realistic for the Star Wars universe.
this is where Star Wars sings. Like, this is where like, I'm so drawn in because there's like this, it really feels alive, like the universe in the books.
Oh, listen, this, I think you should definitely check this book out. It does that thing where like things are happening, but it's like you jump about from like five different like kind of groups of people doing bits in this sector, all for the same thing, but it's really good. And I've been banging out Octopath Traveler. I keep telling myself and Ram that I'm going to just give it a break because, you know, when you're right in the midpoint of an RPG and you're like, I have to give it a break or I'm going to be here for another bloody 40 hours or so. I'm there right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm rebuilding like my island on Animal Crossing because that update is coming. Yes, so like, yes. I'm spending a stupid amount of time doing that.
Tell me about it. And Ram, how was the Queen?
Haven't really been doing that much, to be honest. I haven't really had that much time. Yeah, reading just the usual.
One story at a time.
Yeah, and Zelda, and just the usual anime stuff. That's about it.
Oh, Titan. Tekken Titan, yeah. Oh, the fighting stopped now, so it's kind of boring. People are not being eaten, so. But yeah, our socials, Ram, could you kindly tell the people them?
We are... The Nerd Alternative on Instagram. We are the Nerd Alternative without an E after the N on Twitter and Reddit. And you can find this podcast. I'm assuming you found it already because you're listening. But
otherwise, what is going on?
But you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Podchaser, which is a new addition. And
that's it. I'm going to lie down and sleep until WandaVision comes out.
Really.
Take care, guys. See ya.
Bye.